Open up your Bibles anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. Inside your bulletin is a little outline of our study this morning from God's Word. In a few weeks, we will get back to a verse-by-verse study of one of the books from the New Testament. Which one? Well, you have to be here to find out. But in the next few weeks, we'll look at some commitments, beginning of the year, that we as a church and individually should make. A commitment to God, a commitment to His Word, a commitment to a fellowship, a commitment to holiness. And this morning, we're going to look at the whole Bible. We have plenty of time. Let's pray. Father, as we open Your Word again together, as always, we pray that You are the teacher, the guide, that Your Holy Spirit give us insight to what Your Word says and insight into how to live it in our lives. We pray that we would honor Your Word by listening to it, by coming with anticipation, and also by committing to practicing what it teaches. May You be honored as we open Your Word. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. History is God's story. You might think of history as His story. It's about God. And we find in the Bible, paradise is made, paradise is then lost, and paradise can be regained. The Bible and history is about God. It's His story. And our relationship to God comes in at a distant second, because it's really all about God. It's a new year, and we think of time. Wow, 2016. Can you believe it? I remember when my daughter started kindergarten, and they announced that she would be the class, high school graduating class of 2000. And I thought, that is a long time away. And here we are, 16 years later. But with God, there is no time. In the beginning, God, but God was already there in the beginning. There is no time with God. And I can't explain that. I can't even fathom that in my little mind. But I can tell you this, that God did put His finger in our time. In the beginning, God. Not only at the birth of Christ coming into history, but at the very starting point for us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Creation. And many people say, well, creation, that's too technical for me. I don't get it. So I leave that up to the scientist. Well, let me ask you a question. How important is the very first words of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's vital. It's essential, because what we believe about that is the foundation to every other issue that we fight about, that we argue for, that we have our faith in. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that affects what you think about sex, your sexuality. That determines what you think about the ecology, about marriage, about parenting, about life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, 2, and 3, creation, man, sin, foundation of all issues. You know, I often hear people say, well, creation is a religion, but evolution is a science. Let me tell you this, evolution is not a science. Evolution is a religion. It's a false religion. You know, what is science? Science is, well, it's that class we have to take in junior high and high school. It's looking through a microscope. You know, science, that's not really a good definition. I've got a better one. Science is using the five senses that God gave us to investigate our universe. I mean, whoever saw evolution happen? Any of you there? Any of you that old to have seen it happen? How many times do you hear evolutionists say, "We know"? And what do they say? "We believe. We believe this happened." Who saw it happen? You know, even if you saw a cell evolve today, that doesn't prove that it's happened before. That only proves that it's happening today, something you see today. So really, evolution is a terrible science because none of them were there to see it happen. They weren't there to see it. A few years ago, a Russian astronaut came back from space and he said, "There is no God." And he was asked, "Well, how do you know?" "Well, I looked. I went to space and I didn't see him. He wasn't there. So there is no God." "Well, where did he look?" "Did he look everywhere?" Someone else said, "Well, if he'd stepped out of his spaceship, he would have found God real quickly." You know, evolution without God attempts to explain everything without God. You say, "Well, we've got to be unbiased." But we're all biased, aren't we? I mean, is there anyone in the house today that's not biased? You are biased. Admit it. We are all biased. Trying to explain things from the way we look at things. And if you rule out the Bible, and that they do, then no matter what evidence is presented, they've already ruled out the Bible. So his religion, his bias, determines what you do with the facts. You know anybody that's not biased? You watch TV. You watch the media. I don't care if you watch ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News. They all have their slant. Everyone has their slants, their bias. Listen to the Word of God, what men come up with if you rule out God. Turn to Romans, about the middle. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Verse 21. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles," idols. "Therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for they degraded into their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to the shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their perversion." You say, "That's pretty bad. That sounds like our world." But notice the next verse. "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness." We say, "Well, man, verse 24 through 27, that's pretty bad stuff. And we want to shoot at those kind of sins. But listen to this. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have," verse 29, "become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips." You mean gossips is listed as even further down the slope than those other sins? Apparently so. "Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents." Can you imagine a culture that allows that to happen? "They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." In the beginning, who? God. See, if we all just got here by chance, is that possible? I mean, look around the room. There's order here. There's walls. There's a ceiling. There's what's on the outside of the ceiling? A roof. There's a projector. There's seats in an order. Did that just happen by chance? You just rule out that there was a designer here? It just, poof, it happened? I mean, think of the difference between a rock and an arrowhead. Think of plastic and metal and your car. A designer. Design. And look at you. Look at you. But you're looking at me. Look at you. You're so complicated. You can look at our universe and it is so big. You can look at it through a telescope, but it is so small you look at it through a microscope. Did this just all poof, wind came through and blew this together? Wow, that's pretty good. A wind blew these chairs in these lines. Did it just poof or was there a design? A designer. As a Christian, you look at the world through your view. You are biased. A big fancy word for that is your worldview. How do you look at the world? You look at it, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, or poof, we just all happen to be here today. So see, we're all biased. And so the question is, what's the best bias to be biased about? And you don't really know much about anything, do you? I sure don't. We don't know much about anything unless you have all of the evidence. You watch a movie and you're wondering who did it. And you don't know who did it until you get to the end. And even with some movies today, even after the end, you're not sure who did it. But the Bible, the Word of God, gives us answers from God who does know everything. It's popular today to hear this statement. There are no absolutes. Now, just think, let that sink in for a moment. That is an absolute statement. There are no absolutes is an absolute statement, that there are no absolutes. The idea that, you know, if there's no absolutes, you really can't be sure of anything. Now, if you don't even know that you are for real, look at you again. Pinch yourself. Are you for real? But if you don't know you're for real, okay, go ahead and pinch the person next to you. If you don't know you're for real, you got some big problems. No absolutes? Well, God is absolute. He's the final say. We have in God the one who knows everything. You say, well, it's by faith. It is by faith. You don't know everything, do you? But it is an objective faith. It is looking at the evidence. In Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews says about faith, verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain by what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Where did God get the kit to make the universe? Did he go to Walmart? Did he go to online and find a make-your-own-universe kit? No, in the beginning, God created out of what? God was there. 6 days, Scripture says. Land, animals, plants, man. And people say, well, 6 days, he couldn't do all that in 6 days. Well, the real question is, what took him so long? If he just spoke it into existence, he could do it in a nanosecond. Why did God rest? And you just turn over the page to Hebrews chapter 10. And it says in verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage as we see the day when he comes approaching. Why did God need to rest? Was he pooped? Was he tired? To set us an example. Why do we come together to worship one day a week? God set the example. Take a day for worship and for rest. They said, but the universe is so old. I mean, scientists tell me that it's so old. Well, let me ask you just a couple of questions. How old was Adam when he was created? He wasn't a baby. Did the first trees already have rings? Or was the universe created with age? Scientists weren't there, were they? Who was there? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the first man rebelled against God. God cursed his universe. Death came into the world. God wanted man to live with him in fellowship forever. So God came into our history to die for us, to, if you want a fancy church word, to redeem us from our sin. And there has been death ever since Adam and Eve. Romans chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you believe that we just got here by chance, evolution, you have just destroyed the reason that Christ died on the cross. He came to take care of our sin. The reason there's shedding of blood. Hebrews chapter 9, 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So did Adam and Eve, before sin, eat meat? Of course not. Why? Because if you're going to eat meat, you got to kill an animal. Unless you're eating, but even if you eat a live animal, you're going to kill it. So why was there death? And you know, the Bible explains it all. The flood, different languages. You know, even pagan religions have legends that go back to a flood, the Tower of Babel, color of man. Why? We all have color. You know, we say, I'm a person of color. Well, we all have color, don't we? I heard a black preacher one time. He says, you know, you call me black. But let me ask you a question, white folks. He says, when you are sick, you turn green. When you're sad, you say you turn blue. When you die, you turn gray. And you call me a man of color? We all have color. Now, you watch the History Channel, and they try to explain the miracles of the Bible or the 10 plagues of Exodus scientifically. Well, God can work through science, can't He? God can work through nature. He's behind it all. Or God can, if He so pleases, dip His finger right in and do whatever He wants. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the big question then is, if there is evidence, as Romans says, it's very plain that there's a designer here. It didn't just happen by chance. The big question then is, with so much evidence, why don't people believe? I've got an answer for that. If you were Bill Gates's father, and you had a problem with your Microsoft, where would you go? You would go and call the Geek Squad at Best Buy? If you were if Bill Gates was your son and you had a computer problem, where would you go? You would say, hey, son, I need some help here. Well, man's got a problem, but he doesn't want to go to God. Why? Because if God created you, and He did, but think of it this way. If God created you, then He owns you. What do we read in the responsive reading? The hills, the mountains are His. He made them. And if God created you, then God owns you. And if God owns you, then who sets the rules? God sets the rules. Why? Because He is the absolute authority. He's the boss. And we are so blessed that we have a God of mercy and a God of grace. But God can do whatever He wants. If He didn't want to be merciful, He would still be right. He sets the rules. So what does that mean? That means that filters down into what do we teach our kids? And why do we teach our kids what we teach them? Do we just say, these are the rules? Or are there reasons behind the rules? Who sets the rules? God sets the rules. So I say to my kids, these are God's rules. God sets the rules. These are why they're my rules. If you turn to the Gospel of John, Jesus said something about Him and Moses. And Moses, remember, is the author, the human author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. John chapter 5, verse 45, the end of the chapter, Jesus says, "Do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is who?" They said, "We believe Moses." He said, "Okay, you believe Moses? Then listen to this. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what Moses wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?" And Psalm 11, just turn to this because I want you to see this. Just one little verse in Psalm 11, verse 3. "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Let me read that again. "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And we live in a culture. What's happening to the foundations? Nothing absolute. Believe whatever you want. When the foundations, if you take out the foundation of a building, what happens to the rest of the building? It falls down. Genesis, wake up, listen to this. Don't miss this. Then you can go back to sleep. Genesis is the foundation for everything we believe. In the beginning, everything we believe has its foundation in the book of Genesis. Creation, marriage, clothing. If you don't take Genesis, if you knock out the foundation, what happens to the building? It falls. If you take out God, you have no foundation. Let me ask you this. If you don't believe Genesis 1:1, where does it kick in? Where does it kick in? "Well, I believe God died for me, and He wants to be my Savior, and I like the thought of going to heaven and my sins taken away. I even like the thought of Jesus coming back. But creation, I don't know if I can buy that." Let me ask you, then, when does it kick in? Does it kick in Exodus? How about the Psalms? "Well, I'll just wait and let it kick in Matthew." Where does it kick in if you don't take the whole package? So Christianity is not just a bunch of rules without a reason. If all it is all we are here for today, is man's religious system, you know what the big word for that is? Me. Humanism. I set the rules. If it's man's religious system, it's humanism. Me. I, man, set the rules. Now listen to this, that's very dangerous. Because if man can set the rules, then we can change the rules. And if you can set the rules and you can change the rules, guess what your kids will do with the rules? Why not? It's just a matter of opinion. If we can set the rules, we can change the rules. If God sets the rules, because God is sovereign, then God has the sovereign right to set what is right and wrong. I worked really hard on that. Let's hear an amen there. God is sovereign. If you are just here as a product of chance, poof, a wind blew you, you crawled out of a pond and here we are, there's no God, then feel free to write your own rules. Do whatever you want. In fact, if I set my own rules, I think I'll shoot you. You can't shoot me. Why not? Because that's not right. That's wrong. It's wrong for you to shoot me. Oh, really? Who says so? I think I'll steal your wife. Well, that's not right. Why not? I can set my own rules. I think I'll get into your pocketbook and steal your money. Because that's what I think is right. You say, well, that's not right. That's wrong. Who says so? If there's no absolute God who sets the rules, why not? How does that filter down? You say to your kids, you're not wearing that. You're not going out in that. Why not, Dad? Because I said so. Well, Dad, you're just what? And what do they say next? You're just old-fashioned. Why not? And you as a parent, you say this. The bottom line is, because I said so. Well, who has the right to say, I said so? God in the beginning. If all we are doing is fighting about different opinions, then everyone has the right to their own opinion, And my opinion is as good as your opinion, and your opinion's as good as the guy down the street. If all we're talking about is an opinion, so give a reason, not just an opinion. If we are just here by chance, then why can't I be a homosexual? Just a matter of opinion. Why can't I have sex with anyone I want to? It's just a matter of opinion. Why can't I just marry my horse? I love my horse. I don't even have a horse, but I want to marry my horse. You see, what do? We write our own rules. It doesn't matter. But the question is, who owns you? So who sets the rules? If God sets the rules, then I do what God says. And that was Adam and Eve's problem, wasn't it? God said, don't do this. They said, we want to do this. And if you believe evolution, if you believe we just got here by chance, then you have just given yourself a reason to think that way. Let's look at some specifics. How about marriage? Do you remember when Jesus was asked about marriage in Matthew chapter 19? What was Jesus' response? He said this, haven't you read Genesis? Aha! If you want to understand marriage, then you go to Genesis. The rules that God established for man, woman, husband, wife, kids, regardless of the times, regardless of your opinion, I'm not interested in that. I don't care what you think. You shouldn't care what I think. What does God say? Isn't that the bottom line? You go to Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. Husbands, love your wives. Submit to one another. Wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Where did that come from? God said so. How am I doing at loving my wife as Christ loved the church? Women, how are you doing at submitting to your husbands as to the Lord? Children, how are you doing at obeying your parents? The first command with a promise. Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So dads, what are you teaching? Moms, what's your instruction? Who is it that says, you live in my house, you go to church? Who is it that says, you're going to youth group, you're going to Sunday school? Who is it that says, you're not going to date, you're not going to marry a non-believer? Why? Because God said so. I mean, when do we really apply Scripture? We, as a church, most churches say, we believe the Bible. I've never investigated a church that says they don't. Even those that don't say they do. You say, what do you guys teach? We teach the Bible. Really? But do you teach what the Bible says or what you want it to say? How about abortion? If it's just a matter of opinion, why not? You see how it all comes back to Genesis? How often do we say, how often should we say, you know, let's go back to the one who has the say and see what he says. How about clothing? As I look around the room, everybody's wearing clothes. Good thing. I am so glad you came dressed today. Why do you wear clothes? You say, because it's cold outside. Well, you know, that's just a matter of opinion, isn't it? Every Sunday I turn to my wife and say, man, it's hot in here. And she says, no, it's cold in here. That's just a matter of opinion, isn't it? And if you just wear clothes because it's cold, then does that mean when it's hot you don't? I hope not. You know why we wear clothes? You go back to Genesis. Eve is probably the only woman that could really say, I have nothing to wear. We wear clothes because it's a picture of covering, that God covered their guilt. And it's a picture of Christ coming to cover our guilt and our sin by His sacrifice. An animal had to die. The first blood sacrifice. That's why you wear clothes. How do you treat your parents? You rebel against your parents? Are you mouthy to your parents? Boy, it got real quiet. What does the Bible say? Who has the right to say? God does. God says, obey your parents. And parents, do we let them get away with being mouthy and rebellious? Often, too often. Treat them anyway. You know, we ought to teach our kids, the way you treat your parents is the way you treat God. There's a reason behind all that. See, our faith, our belief is not just a legalistic attitude, but there's a why behind it. There's rules that have a reason. The way we look at sex, the way we look at clothing, because we know what the universe is all about. That is our worldview. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There is an absolute God behind it all. If it's just evolution, you're free to set your own rules. You're just a product of chance. And a lot of our problems in our world, and I don't know if you've noticed this, we've got a lot of problems. And we've got a lot of moral problems. We've got a lot of moral problems in our community. I showed you Christmas Sunday the chart which says we rank as a state number one in teen pregnancy. And those are not virgin births. We got problems. We got a problem with pornography. You should read the statistics on pastors who are involved in pornography. But why not if we just set our own rules? Why not? Who's to say? You say, well, that's wrong. Well, who are you to say it's wrong? It might be right for me, man. Because today we hear tolerance. Everybody has a right to their own opinion. And have you noticed this? That those who preach tolerance the most are very intolerant of the truth of Christianity? If we are just animals by chance and you have an unwanted baby, what do? Just get rid of it. If we are just animals, then if you want to have sex with the person down the street, why not? You're just an animal. No rules. But there's a foundation. God created and God sets the rules. There's a foundation. God has the total right to me. Why I live, how I live. And the issue, did God create? Do we take Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, or do we take evolution? And everything else really flows out of that, doesn't it? That's the foundation. Rejecting God as creator is the issue. Now, what does Satan know? Satan knows if you knock out the foundation, what happens to the structure? It collapses. So what do we as churches so often do? What are we shooting at? What do we shoot our cannons at? We shoot our cannons at the issues, not the foundation. Because Satan knows you knock it out. So we take little pot shots. We shoot at abortion. We shoot at marriage. We shoot at same-sex marriage. We shoot all these cannons at all those issues, and we want to get laws passed. We want to fight about them. We want to sign petitions and send things out on the internet. Sign this petition. Get things changed. Get the laws changed. What we really need to do is wake up and aim our cannons at the foundation. In the beginning, God. And stand for that. Because if we're just talking about opinion, all those other things are just a matter of opinion. You say, well, it's so big. Have you seen the news lately? It is such a big issue. All these issues, it's like trying to dig a big hole with a teaspoon. But you know what? If you get enough people digging with a teaspoon, you can make a real effect. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And because we know that, that's how we look at the universe. But my teacher says this. The scientists say this. Well, TV says this. Well, I found this to be true on the internet. They say this. Let me just remind you, they don't know everything. But God does. So as we start a new year, may we again kneel and acknowledge that God is our Creator. In the beginning, God created. And because He is our Creator, He owns us. And because He owns us, who gets to set the rules? It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. Well, what I think, well, times have changed. That doesn't matter. What does God say? That's the bottom line. So, take a breath. Loud enough I can hear. Everybody at the count of three, take a big, big breath. Who gave you that? God did. That is from God. So may we live and breathe and act and think in response. Say it with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our great God. Let's pray. Father, may we again acknowledge You as our Creator. Not just a token acknowledgement, but that You made us. You are sovereign. You are in charge. You set the rules. We don't. And no matter the times, our opinion, what other people are doing, we know that You created, You made us, You have a purpose, You have a reason. Find everything You tell us to do and what You tell us not to do. May we teach it to ourselves again. May we teach it to our children. May we live acknowledging that You are our God. Pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.